a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
The Senate will come to order. Good morning. Leading us in prayer this morning is Pastor Paul Bly of the Pierrefort Peer Ministerial Association. Following the prayer, we'll be led in the Pledge of Allegiance by the page of the day, Reagan Nielsen of Brookings.
Let us pray. Almighty God, give us this day a sense of peace that comes only from trusting you and doing your will. Help us, O God, to remember that once the amens are said, that we are not to forget you, but to be about the real work of being your people in this world. Lord, you are no stranger to politics. Since you created the first human beings, you've chosen to be in the very midst of it. Only you called the political agreement a covenant, which you made with your people. You have taught us that that covenant relationship involves not only resources, but a basic relationship of trust. Lord, we know that people's lives and well-being are at stake here today. We ask that you give integrity to the debate and to the intentions behind it. We ask that you guide the votes. We do give you thanks and ask that you bless these senators for their hard work and their dedication, also the pages and interns. We also give you thanks and ask that you bless all of the employees of this state here in this room, throughout the Capitol, and spread across the state. Guide and protect all of our families, wherever they may be. In your holy name we pray.
The Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Abdallah, Adelstein, Ahlers, Bartling, Bradford, Brown, Dempster, Frisley, Gant, Garnos, Gillespie, Gray, Hanson, Tom, Hanson, Gary, Haverly, Heideprim, Howie, Hunstead, Hunhoff, Jerstad, Klochek, Knutson, Maher, Merchant, Miles, Nelson, Nesselhoff, Nordstrup, Olson, Peterson, Roden, Schmidt, Teason, Trebek, Berry, Valley. There's a quorum present, Mr. President.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Secretary of the Senate has had under consideration the Senate Journal of the 36th day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Bob Gray, Chair.
Is there a second? Motion is to approve the journal. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. We'll start with reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that Senate Bills 12, 21, 62, 75, 78, 102, 104, 115, 139, 141, 169, and 172 were delivered to His Excellency the Governor for his approval at 8:50 a.m., March 12, 2010. Respectfully submitted, Bob Gray, Chair.
Reports of standing committees.
Conference committees,
rather.
Mr. President, the Conference Committee respectfully reports that it has considered House Bill 1060 and the amendments thereto made by the Senate and the disagreement of the two houses thereon, and recommends that 1060 be amended. Respectfully submitted, Tim Rave, House Committee Chair, and Dave Knutson, Senate Committee Chair.
I don't believe the 1060 conference report has been distributed yet, but it is being copied, and you'll have it soon. Senator Roden, would you like to have the intern recognition at this time?
Yes. Could we have the Senate interns come to the front, please? Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate, well, we've come to that time of year again, and it's been my privilege in the past to recognize the Senate interns. And this year I take a great deal of pleasure in having that privilege. I've had my second oldest son had the opportunity to serve as an intern in Washington, D.C., and this year as a House intern. And so I've seen the perspective from him as serving in Washington, D.C. and in the state. And there's a huge difference. The interns in Washington, D.C., I would be more appropriate to call them pages as far as their duties. The interns that we deal with here in Pierre, I think it'd be more appropriate to call them personal aides. They serve side by side with us. They're part of our caucus. They are our staff. I don't know if it'd be possible for us to serve the state as we do if it were not the service provided by our interns. They have served us loyally, with loyal dedication and pride, and have reflected the highest degree of professionalism and servitude to this state. So again, it is my privilege to recognize you on behalf of the state of South Dakota and the South Dakota Senate for your service, and heartfelt thanks from the members of the Senate Republicans. Thank you.
Are there further remarks? Senator Gillespie.
Well, thank you, Mr. President, and members of the Senate. And to our interns, in my 10 years here in the state legislature, I've seen many interns come and go, and I think this is my first time to be able to stand and thank you formally on behalf of the Senate Democrats for your service. You know, Senator Roden is correct that we really owe a significant debt of gratitude to you because of our staffing, our skeleton staff, really, as legislators. We rely in great measure upon your work to us and the knowledge and assistance that you impart to us. And that includes, in my years, 10 years in the legislature, asking you in these late days to run to Zesto's to get ice cream and to do some of the things that we also ask the pages to do. But, you know, as you leave here today, I would like to impart some level of life skill wisdom to you. My dad always said to me, and my other brothers and sisters, I'm the youngest of seven, you've got a good head on your shoulders, and I expect you to use it. And we expect that from you. We expect you to leave here and work hard as you blaze your trail in life. And we expect you to treat others with respect. But we also expect you to respect yourself. And I hope, and I know that the others here hope that you'll do that. We expect you to take care of the ones that you love and protect them. And I know that I speak for all of us here when I ask that you take the knowledge that that you leave here with, and you impart a duty to yourself of public service, but you also pass that along as you leave here and you grow in communities, hopefully here in South Dakota, but maybe nationwide or internationally, that you impart that desire and passion for public service, not only to yourself, but to your community members and to your family and your friends and neighbors around you. So with that, thank you very much for the things that you've brought to us and the knowledge that you've brought to us and the work that you've done for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Now we have some... We thank you for your service. Members of the Senate, the following bills have passed both houses of the legislature, and I'm signing them in your presence. House Bill 1077, an act to enact a procedure for delayed appeal if the petitioner was unconstitutionally delayed the right of appeal. House Bill 1110, an act to revise certain provisions relating to statutory rape. House Bill 1138, an act to create certified technology parks or certified sites to enhance knowledge and tech-based economic development. House Bill 1227, an act to permit townships to enroll in certain health, life, and disability income insurance benefits. House Bill 1231, an act to provide for the monitoring of the prescribing and dispensing of controlled substances. And House Bill 1265, an act to revise certain provisions related to indigent counsel. Messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the House has adopted the report of the Conference Committee on Senate Bill 195. Also, Mr. President, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the House has adopted the report of the Conference Committee on Senate Bill 106. Also, Mr. President, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the House has adopted the report of the Conference Committee on House Bill 1160. Also, Mr. President, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the House has adopted the report of the Conference Committee on 1202. Also, Mr. President, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the House has adopted the report of the Conference Committee on House Bill 1053. Respectfully, Karen Gertis, Chief Clerk.
Consideration of reports of committees.
Senator Brown moves that the Senate do not adopt the report of the Conference Committee on Senate Bill 22, as found on page 667 of the Senate Journal, and that a new committee be appointed.
Is there a second? Remarks on that motion?
Mr. President.
Senator Gray.
I'd like to offer a substitute motion to adopt the Conference Committee report.
Is there a second?
Second.
Remarks on that substitute motion. Senator Gray.
Mr. President, thank you, Mr. President. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, we're now at the stage of that of session, 37th day of session. It is time today that the Appropriations Committee will start taking up the budget. While we may not finish that work today, Senate Bill 22 is part of our overall picture. Over the next 2 years, I think we all recognize that we're facing a $150 million deficit, and we have about $100 million in savings. And that does not take into account what may happen in future years. So we have all, Republican and Democrat, look for cuts this session. I think that's admirable. I think it's something we need to do. But at the same time, we've told providers and we've told state employees that you're not going to get a raise. Senate Bill 22, as it stands before you today, would tell education you're not going to get a raise. That's painful to me, just as state employees and providers is a painful pill to swallow as well. But it's something, as we look at our deficit over the next 2 years, I think is important. And I would hope that we can come back here next year and the economy is growing and that gap is down and that, frankly, in the next 2 or 3 weeks that we have some news from D.C. that covers part of that gap and that we can come back and we can tell the providers and the state employees and our educators that you're going to do well next year. I don't have a crystal ball. None of you do either. Hopefully that will be the case next year. But in 2010, on this 37th day of the legislature, I think it's appropriate that we adopt Senate Bill 22 as it is today and move toward our appropriations, our final markup of the appropriations bill. Thank you.
Senator Gerstedt.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, dear friends and colleagues in the Senate, I have so appreciated serving with you for this particular term, and you're permitting me to visit with you about a variety of topics. And the topic at hand is the one that I am most passionate about, and the reason that I ran for the Senate and come to peer, because I see education, the education of our children and our grandchildren, as not only their future, but as the future, the economic future of our state. And just as we cut a deal with industry yesterday and gave them a lot of tax incentives so that they'll keep on coming to our state, We have got to cut a deal with education. We've got to give them some hope. You know, you put them in zero right now, and the ramifications are going to go on beyond 1 year. I heard, you know, that next year it could be $150 million in debt. We could be. We do have, I think, resources to deal with that. And it's just a matter of priorities. Where are your priorities? Again, you know, we all support education, but it's not we don't truly support it unless we fund it. And that's a fact. Teachers will lose jobs if we come out with zero. A lot of people's health care costs are going up not only 6%, but 10, 12, and more percent. And how are they going to cope with that? We're going to put families in dire straits, and our education system overall is going to suffer horrifically. And it's not that much money. I mean, I tried to get $5.2 million for our legislature, for the state general budget, and for our roads last year with the primary seat bill, which takes 2 seconds and no money. That was rejected. Where are our priorities? I mean, I know the seat belt bill doesn't relate to education. You know, we work with these young people every single day sitting in front of us who are part of our education system. They've come through, they've gotten a good education, and our interns as well. But what about the next people that are coming along? What about the kids that are in kindergarten right now coming through our education system when they can't have good teachers? Because believe me, teachers will be leaving the state for other states where the pay is much more and where they are esteemed much more. You think a salary doesn't make a difference? Well, yeah, at some point it does, especially with the new younger teachers. They're just not going to sign up for $27,000 a year. And who are we going to have that are going to teach our young people? Yes, some people do homeschool their kids, and that is just fabulous. And yesterday I fought hard for those kids to have a chance at the Opportunity Scholarship, which is also, by the way, on the chopping block. But 95% or more, maybe 96-97% of the kids in this state go to public schools, which we are funding. And what kind of quality do you want at those public schools? And this is a huge vote. I don't know how you're going to go home and face your principals, your superintendents, your teachers, and all the parents. Do you have any parents in your district? Do you have any grandparents in your district? Can you smile and say, yeah, we didn't think education was that important, so we didn't give you anything this year. We got other priorities, because that's what it comes down to, other priorities. Please, defeat this, and let's go on and give education 1.2%, just 1.2%.
Senator Roden.
Thank you. I would like to respond briefly to a couple comments, because it's hard not to be offended by some of the remarks that somehow we are not supportive of education. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in extraordinary circumstances, and I would suggest that we are doing the right thing in looking for areas to cut the size of government, and a number of those issues are at this very minute being considered by the appropriators to find appropriate areas to cut the size of state government, programmatic cuts. Education has been spared the chopping block, that, as the term was used. We are holding them to a 0% increase without, in the absence of the cuts. Also, just as a side note, the comments that thrown out about the easy money of seatbelt laws, I don't know when we will fully grasp the concept of one-time monies versus ongoing expenditures. And to compare that to rationalize that we use money like that to increase education funding is just irresponsible. The Opportunity Scholarship was also mentioned that it's on the chopping block. That's not accurate. What we have cut from Opportunity Scholarships, as a reminder, was the increase. We have funded the Opportunity Scholarship. The point we're at now is to not increase that amount. Whether or not that's right or wrong has nothing to do with whether or not we support it. I think by all means we do. But we're doing the responsible thing, what we feel that we have to. And again, the 1.2% increase represents $4.4 million to the state in the formula money that is ongoing expenditure. But again, I will remind you that it also increases local property taxes by $3.4 million. We are making the decision here whether or not we want to increase our local property taxes with this move. So I'd urge you, ladies and gentlemen, to support the substitute motion to adopt. Thank you.
Senator Nesselhoff.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I actually share some of the concerns of my friend over here. I'm also offended. I'm offended by this legislation. I'm offended it's in front of us. We give an awful lot of lip service to education. And if we pass this bill, that's all we've done is give lip service. I'll say right now, Senator, and I'm sorry if this bothers you, but yes, I question the commitment. I do. We made a deal a long time ago that good times are bad. School districts are going to get a modest increase. Whether we have good time on the state, they're going to get a modest increase. Whether we have a bad time on the state, they're going to modest increase. It's not a formula that I support. I never have. I thought we could do better. But to say now that they must join in the pain of everyone else when they were not able to celebrate the good times, this is the low point this year. I always quite often get asked, what's the worst bill to pass the legislature? Well, you're going to give me an answer if you pass this bill. I think we're going to look back at this. I don't care how long you serve in the legislature. This is going to be the low point of your career if you pass this bill. We need to do better than this.
Further remarks?
Mr. President.
Senator Terbeck-Berry.
I don't think in my 4 years here I've ever spoken on education. And that's because there's so many of you that know, I feel like you know more about it. You come from education backgrounds or, you know how to figure Cutler-Gabriel in your head or whatever it is. And so I don't usually say anything on this topic, though I do feel very strongly about public education. And I think, like most of us, our feelings on any one issue, you know, maybe end up rationalizing our head, or they probably start in our heart. I know I don't look as old as Mr. President, but I, too, started school in a one-room schoolhouse. And whether it was that public... whether it was that public school...
Was that backhanded?
Whether it was that public school, it was coincidentally, it's called District 5 schoolhouse in Cranesburg, or whether I think about the high school training that I got that is still the central most useful thing in my service here and my service to my clients when I was at Watertown High School. There's just no way, at least in the life I've lived, to not feel passionately about public education. But what bothers me about what we're doing here isn't—I can see both sides. I certainly can. But it always kind of bothers me, whatever the topic is that comes up. I'm always looking for consistencies, for some sort of logic and consistencies. And I just want to point out two things to you that seem to me a little inconsistent. We struggled so with, 195 or 1060, and what should we do because of our commitment— a commitment to folks like, out-of-state oil companies. And that's honorable to struggle with that. We shouldn't make commitments lightly and then discharge them lightly. But I just can't quite grasp the consistency between being so worried about our commitment to companies that may or may not have really cared about that in the first place, and yet be so willing to dismiss our commitment to our own schools and our own kids. And the other thing that puzzles me, and I don't understand the legislative days and the procedural stuff, I've never quite caught on to all that, and maybe you know the answer, but I cannot figure out why, if we don't have enough information about our finances to deal with the general appropriations bill yet, and it's my understanding we don't, we're going to come back in a couple of weeks, if we don't have enough information to deal with that yet, because our decisions are going to depend on factors that we don't know, then how can we have enough information to deal with this issue. I thought from the beginning the discussion about education funding was brought to us because we don't have enough money. Well, if we don't know how much money we have, then maybe it's premature, and I don't see why we're not deferring 22 to deal with that when we deal with the general appropriations bill, because certainly it's just as important. So I just want you to think, I guess, about those two inconsistencies and ask yourself if really that we shouldn't be handling this a little differently. Thank you.
Senator Gray.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, as to Senator Turbackberry's comments, I think it's entirely possible we could come back in a couple weeks and decide we're going to spend money on state employees and providers and education and a variety of things. It's entirely possible we won't as well, and we'll just adopt the budget as we're planning to do so today. I will tell you that I have a hard time with not providing for education, certainly. We all passed Senate Bill 124 with only 9 or 10 negative votes in the Senate. I think we all would prefer that if we were a unicameral legislature. We are not. The House did not support that, and so here we are today. 124 had a 0% this year with a promise for more in the future. I wish that would have passed. But if we want to go ahead and do 1.2%, then I am going to back up and say that I want some more for state employees. And, you know, we see state employees around here. They're wearing blue badges, and we see them in committees, and they're testifying. There's a lot of state employees out there who we don't see. They're working with nursing home patients. They're working with people on Medicaid. Our providers, taking care of people who can't take care of themselves. We have corrections workers. We have truck drivers. They're not getting a raise. I have a hard time saying that education, you should get a raise, but gosh, you know, your average run-of-the-mill state employee, no, you shouldn't. Your nursing home worker, no, you're not going to get a raise. This is tough. This is tough on me. This is tough on a lot of you. I recognize that. But ultimately, we need to make a decision. I think we need to be fair to everyone involved. We need to be consistent. So, again, I would ask that you adopt this conference committee report. Let's go make the tough cuts. Let's go decide this budget. Come back in a couple weeks and adopt that final budget. Thank you.
Senator Knudsen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, this is I think everybody has acknowledged the difficulty of this vote. I certainly acknowledge the points that Senator Gray just made, that there is a cascading effect when you provide 1.2% for schools and nothing for Medicaid providers and state employees. And again, I am very disappointed that we are at this point where we aren't in a position to provide the schools anything by way of an improvement in their long-term funding formula. I think Senate Bill 124 is the best of the probably five or six vehicles that I have proposed over the last 5 or 6 years to improve the K-12 funding formula. I think 124 really fit good times and bad times, and would have been an appropriate trade-off, if you will, for education to go to 0% this year for that hope of a brighter future. And I have to say that I was very disappointed that the House, for the first time in my career, elected not to engage in the dialogue. I'm not sure if that meant they were simply void of ideas or what, but this is the first time we've not had a dialogue on this issue. I intend to vote against this motion, but I recognize that this is a very hard decision. I think Senator Gray has laid out as I see him, the cascading effects of this, so I understand that there will be people can have differing views on what the proper vote is on this. But again, I just have to express my disappointment, primarily directed at the House, that we were not able to make what I think would have been a major plus for South Dakota by tying our education funding directly to our state revenues.
Further remarks? Senator Klocek.
Mr. President, honorable members of the body, well, I too rise with some concerns about what we're doing here today. This is our 100th year, and we should do better. We should do a lot better. I want to commend Senator Knudsen and Senator Heideprim and the entire Senate for their cooperation and their noble fight for education funding. Time and time again, this body stood up for education and sent good legislation over to the other side. What are we to do? We are faced with an issue here today that does not send a strong message to our teachers. It does not send a strong message to our educators. I was reminded by an education supporter this session that when we give an increase in state employee salary, that goes to the state employee. When we give an increase to education, that does not go to the educators. It is divided up among all the expenses, and that is a very important point. We are not doing that this year. We are, however, taking care of corporate America. We are taking care of the richest of the rich, the huge mega corporations, many of who do not even have their headquarters here. And you know who I'm talking about, the pipelines, the big economic development projects. We are not, however, taking care of our working people, our small towns, and our rural communities to the best of our ability. So I am saddened about what we're doing here in this legislative session on that point. In our 100th year, I'd hope that we would do better. But in our 100th year, we can be proud of the South Dakota Senate, for they did put their best foot forward. They did stand up for education. And for that, in our 100th year, I will always remember and be very proud. Thank you, Mr. President, and members of the body.
Senator Merchant.
Thank you, Mr. President. Fellow members, I really appreciate what the senator from Watertown has expressed, that we just maybe want to take a look at this the next couple weeks. And a reality check here is that even with a 1.2%, it really barely covers the cost of health insurance for our. That's the reality check. That's what it does. That's all it does. And I want to give you 125,000 reasons to support education. That's how many students we have in this state. And I think we want more. Absolutely want more. We have 1,100 new ones this year. And I think when push comes to shove, if we really wanted to talk to Medicaid providers and the state employees, hard though it might be, and I do want to give them a cost of living increase. I absolutely do. But if we ask them, I bet that their priority would be education of our very youngest. That's the hope of the future. That's how we get out of all of this. And you talk about one-time money? We have been in a structural deficit for, 7 years? We can argue all we want about one-time money. We've done it a long time here. And, yes, I hope that we can solve that problem. But it's going to take. We have to take a hard look at all of our systems, our tax systems, how we're spending money on incentives, all of those, every last thing. But the least we can do is to uphold the very youngest in our state and give them some hope for the future. That's why we're here. I'm not here for myself. I'm here for them. I think that's why all of us are here. Thank you.
Is there a second? Motion is to call the question. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Motion carried. The question has been called. The question is Senator Gray's motion, substitute motion, that the Senate do concur in House amendments to Senate Bill 22. As your name is called, those in favor of concurrence say aye. Those opposed say no. The secretary will call the roll. I'm sorry, yes. It's the Senator Gray's motion to adopt the conference committee report. Thank you.
Senator Abdallah?
No.
Adelstein?
No.
Ahlers?
No.
Bartling?
No.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Dempster?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gillespie?
No.
Gray?
Aye.
Hanson-Tom?
Aye.
Hanson-Gary?
No.
Haverly?
Aye.
Heideprim?
No.
Howie?
Aye.
Hunstead?
No.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Jurstead?
No.
Klocek?
No.
Knudsen?
No.
Maher? Merchant? Miles? Nelson?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
No.
Norstrup?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Roden?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Thiessen?
Aye.
Trebek-Berry?
No.
Valley?
Aye.
Mr. President, there are 18 ayes, 17 nays.
So the motion has received an affirmative vote of a majority of the members elect. Motion carries, and the report of the Conference Committee on Senate Bill 22 is adopted. Senator Knudsen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Unless there are some front desk announcements, I would move at this time we recess until 11 p.m. and would also announce a Republic 11 a.m. I'm sorry. Excuse me. And then Republican caucus immediately after we recess.
Motion is to recess. Any further remarks? Those in favor say aye. Those opposed nay. Motion carried. We're in recess until 11. The Senate will come to order. Communications and petitions.
March 12, 2010, Mr. President and members of the Senate, I have the honor to inform you that on March 11, 2010, I approved Senate Bills 7, 8, 11, 18, 19, 20, 30, 32, 35, 42, 53, 54, 85, 86, 89, and 122. And the same have been deposited in the Office of the Secretary of State. Respectfully submitted, M. Michael Rounds, Governor.
Members of the Senate, the following bills have passed both houses of the legislature, and I am signing them in your presence. Senate Bill 106, an act to authorize the Board of Regents and the Building Authority to contract for construction of classroom facilities at the University Center in Sioux Falls to replace facilities leased from the Sioux Falls School District and to make an appropriation therefor. And Senate Bill 195, an act to revise the refunds for new or expanded agricultural facilities and new or expanded business facilities and to sunset the refunds for new or expanded agricultural facilities and new or expanded business facilities. Reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Office of Engrossing and Enrolling has carefully compared Senate Bills 106 and 195 and finds the same correctly enrolled. Respectfully submitted, Bob Gray, Chair.
Consideration of reports of conference committees.
Senator Knudsen moves that the report of the conference committee on House Bill 1060, as found in the Senate Journal of the 37th legislative day, be adopted.
Is there a second? Remarks on that motion?
Mr. President.
Senator Gray.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, House Bill 1060 is another continuing conversation about large projects. We fought a fight yesterday. We fought it in conference committee. We fought it on the floor. I wanted to continue that conversation. I, as you know, didn't believe in caps and had some concerns about wind. And so when we lost that battle on this floor and when we lost it on the House floor, I had an amendment drafted that would take the caps off of wind projects. Why do we want to do this? Obviously, South Dakota is a windy place, as are our neighbors to the north and to the east and several states around us. South Dakota seems to be lagging behind in megawatts of wind generated. I believe that we need to show the wind industry that we're serious about having wind in South Dakota. frankly, they can locate anywhere. They can go to North Dakota, they can go to Iowa, they can go to Minnesota, go to a variety of other places. I think most of us want to keep wind here. Why? I think wind projects generate economic activity. Building the projects bring in contractors, employ people. Tying up land results in paychecks to farmers and ranchers. Let me talk for a minute about taxes. Because we all think maybe we're just giving up excise tax and sales tax on the construction of these things, but I want to point out that once we have wind up and going, that there's ongoing revenues to the state and to local governments. Currently, wind projects pay a nameplate tax of $3 per kilowatt. For a 2-megawatt tower, that's about $6,000 each and every year. In addition to that, the real money is the gross receipts tax. And I want to use an example. There's a wind farm up in McPherson County, 88-megawatt wind farm, that will pay $13 million of gross receipts tax over the next 25 years. You can do the quick math and know that is an average of around $500,000 a year. If we end up getting some big wind farms, there's some on the drawing board, upwards of 1,000 megawatt and higher. But if you take a 1,000 megawatt farm and do that math, that farm should generate around $5 million a year. That gross receipts tax is split 80% to the state, 20% to the county, I believe. The other thing about that tax is that it's not a flat tax. That tax has an inflation rate to it of 2.5% a year. And so our revenues off these wind farms are real. Yes, we will give up something in the beginning, but I think collecting that tax for the state and for our local governments is a good thing. Creating economic activity and jobs is a good thing. Getting some more cash into farmers' hands, I think, is a good thing. And so I ask for your support of the motion to adopt 1060 as it is. Let's take the caps off wind and encourage them to come to the state. Thank you.
Further remarks? Seeing none, the question being on Senator Gray's motion that the report of the Conference Committee on House Bill 1060 be adopted. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Abdullah? Adelstein?
Aye.
Ahlers?
Aye.
Bartling?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Dempster?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gillespie?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Hanson Tom? Hanson Gary?
Aye.
Haverly?
Aye.
Heideprim?
Aye.
Howie?
Aye.
Hunstead?
No.
Hunhoff? Jurstead?
Aye.
Klocek? Knudsen?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Miles?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Nordstrup?
Aye.
Olson? Peterson? Roden?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Thiessen?
Aye.
Trebekberry?
No.
Valley?
Senator
Bradford? Bradford? Senator Bradford? Senator Hanson Tom? Senator Tom Hanson? Senator Tom Hanson? Senator Klocek? Klocek? Senator Klocek? Senator Olson? Olson? Senator Olson? Senator Peterson? Peterson? Senator Peterson? Mr. President, we have 28 ayes, 2 nays, 5 excused.
So the motion has received an affirmative vote of a majority of the members-elect. The motion carries, and the report of the Conference Committee on 1060 is adopted. Members of the Senate, Senator Klocek to ask, we welcome to the Senate gallery David and Denise Velek of Springfield. They're the parents of our page, Daniel Velek. Would you stand, Mr. and Mrs. Velek, and welcome. Senator Gray? Yes, that's granted.
Well, one chance this session. It comes to the 37th day to embarrass my wife, but to introduce my wife and my kids are up in the gallery today, Addison and Nicholas. Wave, kids. Thank
Welcome.
You.
Welcome. Hi, Allison. Senator Knudsen.
Mr. President, at this time, there is the Conference Committee on Senate Bill 67 is meeting. It's not anticipated to be a long conference. I would, at this time, move we recess until 11:50, and it would be my hope, members of the Senate, that once we reconvene, we can deal with Senate Bill 67 and then adjourn for the day. Thank you.
Is there a second to the motion to recess? Motion is to recess until 11:50. Any announcements? Those in favor of recess say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed nay. Motion carried. We're in recess until 11:50.
Four, and the local effort was about 46. And then after we added the tobacco funds, the state's effort now is about 56 and a half. Local effort's about 43 and a half. The ag version of the mill levy did not drop percentage-wise quite as much, but that was an agreement we made when we went to the productivity that ag would always maintain the same percentage that it did when we switched over, and we're honoring that agreement, and I ask everybody to please adopt it.
Further remarks?
Mr. President.
Senator Alstein.
I would urge that we resist this motion. As I look at these numbers, I see no possible rational reason why a homeowner should pay $1.41 more per $100,000 than a ag property owner. As you've heard me say before, the theory behind this mill levy for education is that property is responsible for educating, and because property represents the wealth in this state. To take one class of ownership and elevate it to a discount, frankly, an outrageous discount, is unreasonable. And if we reject this bill as now offered, then something will have to happen with it because somehow we have to come up with a mill levy. For those of us who care about the right of elderly to stay in their homes and the possibility of fairness in taxation, we should vote no. Most of you in this, a majority of you in this room, in fact, 30 districts representing this room, had been bombarded by correspondence from me, which I didn't bother to do again. And by voting no, you'll take care of those constituents that own their own homes in your 30 districts. And if barely half vote to look out for their constituents, we will finally break the back of this unfair, unreasonable, and discriminatory method of setting mill levy. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Further remarks? Senator Knudsen.
Thank you, Mr. President. A couple of things. One, I do want to respond to Senator Adelstein's arguments, and I hate to disagree with a senator from Rapid City, but I do think the acknowledgement that agriculture, just by its nature, requires a relatively large land mass and high value of real property as part of its business that is not necessarily true for many other businesses, for example, service businesses such as lawyers, accountants, those sorts of folks. So I think that we've recognized this for decades in South Dakota, and I think that it is appropriate that we continue to do that by the differential levies we have for agricultural and non-agricultural services. I also just would remind the body that for example, the home that a agricultural producer lives in is, in fact, separately assessed, separately taxed as owner-occupied property. It is only the agricultural property proper that is subject to the agricultural rate. The other point I would just make to remind the body is, again, I'm very pleased that we're making this adjustment yet again. This is the second year in a row that the governor has recommended that we not make these adjustments, not keep faith with our local property taxpayer, and shift some of the burden which the state has said it would be responsible for in K-12 funding onto the local property taxpayer. We rejected that last year. By adopting this bill, we're rejecting that again this year. And I think it's very appropriate that we do not, in fact, shift that burden, as the governor has proposed, onto the local property taxpayer and instead retain it here at the state level. So I would urge the body to adopt the conference committee report.
Further remarks? Senator Alstein.
Very briefly. I have the greatest respect for the senator from Minnehaha County, and I really think there's an element of truth, a significant element of truth, in fact, the truth, in the statement that he just made, that agricultural property is a business that takes a lot of wealth in land. If it's a business, then I think that we should have the measure somewhat higher than owner-occupied, maybe the average between owner-occupied and the column non-agricultural business, if we're going to tax it as a business, but certainly not less than what we do for owner-occupied. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further remarks? Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll be very brief. We've had these arguments up in taxation, and I just want to remind ladies and gentlemen of the Senate that the general fund levy is the only levy that's different. When you look at school funding, there are multiple other funds, that levies that are put on the taxpayers, and they are put on the same. Capital outlay is the same on all property. Teacher retirement is the same on all property. The opt-out is the same on all property. It's just one small break because of the services that are required by the ag land are not near as costly as the services that are required by the homes. Thank you.
Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is Senator Hansen's motion that the report of the Conference Committee on Senate Bill 67 be adopted. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Abdullah?
Aye.
Adelstein?
No.
Ahlers?
Aye.
Bartling?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Dempster?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gillespie?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Hanson Tom?
Aye.
Hanson Gary?
Aye.
Haverly?
Aye.
Heideprim?
Aye.
Howie?
Aye.
Hunstead?
Aye.
Honhoff? Durstead?
Aye.
Klochek?
Aye.
Knudsen?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Miles?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Nordstrup?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Roden? Schmidt?
Aye.
Thiessen?
Aye.
Trebek-Berry? Valley?
Aye.
Senator Bradford? Bradford? Senator Bradford? Senator Haverly?
Aye.
Senator Hunhoff? Hunhoff? Senator Hunhoff? Senator Trebek-Berry? Senator Trebek-Berry? Senator Trebek-Berry? Mr. President, we have 31 ayes, 1 nay, 3 excused.
So the motion having received an affirmative vote of a majority of the members elect, the President declares the motion carried. The report is adopted. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, Senator Klochek asks that we welcome to the Senate gallery the mother of Paige Bradley Chihak, Charlotte, Grandma Pauline, and Sister Brittany of Tyndall. Are you in the gallery? Welcome. Senator Knudsen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, the front desk, this concludes the items on which we need action today, but the front desk tells me that there are some informational messages and so forth that it would be helpful for us to be able to exchange with the House, which is not coming in till 1 o'clock. So I would move at this time that we recess till 1:30, but I would assure members that we will undertake no action. We would merely reconvene for purposes of receiving and delivering messages to the House, and will not act on any bills, so that if members wanted to go homeward, that would be certainly understandable, and they would not miss any legislative action. It would be purely a an informational flow opportunity at 1:30.
Are there further remarks? Further remarks. Are there any announcements at this time? Senator Hunoff.
Thank you. Personal privilege?
Yes.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. You know, I would like to recognize one of my colleagues today, because she's got a milestone, and I think we need to help her celebrate. Senator Bartling has been married 34 years today to Bart, and they got married. There was a blizzard or a winter storm going on, so she's got replication. So let's wish Senator Bartling and Bart happy 34th anniversary.
Senator Bartling.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Hunhoff. Yes, there was a blizzard 34 years ago today, and we nearly postponed the wedding. Some people wish we may have canceled it, but we carried on, and we're glad we have four wonderful children, six beautiful grandchildren, and this is another memorable day as an anniversary, so I'm glad to share it with all of you. I probably won't get home in time for him to take me out for supper. I'll probably have to cook it for him again, so, but I'll have him take me out tomorrow night. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Senator Knutson, did you make a motion previously?
Yes, to recess till 1:30. I don't know if it got a second.
I don't know.
Or passed.
Is there a second? The motion before the Senate is to recess until 1:30. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. That is carried.
Mr. President.
We are recessed. Is there an announcement?
Announcement. The Republican caucus right now, and I believe there is pizza up there as an inducement.
The Senate will come to order.
Messages.
Without objection, we'll revert to messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the House has approved Senate Bill 103 as recommended by the Governor pursuant to Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution of the State of South Dakota for changes as to style and form. Also, Mr. President, and that was by a vote of 69 yeas. Also, Mr. President, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the House has adopted the report of the Conference Committee on Senate Bill 22, adopted the report of the Conference Committee on 1060, and adopted the Conference Committee report on 67. Respectfully, Karen Gerdes, Chief Clerk.
Members of the Senate, the following bills have passed both houses of the legislature, and I'm signing them in your presence. House Bill 1053, an act to revise certain provisions concerning campaign finance and to declare an emergency. And House Bill 1160, an act to allow certain students to participate in the Opportunity Scholarship Program under certain circumstances.
Anything, Madam Secretary?
Yes, Senator Knutson.
Mr. President, if you could kind of inform us as to what times might be necessary in order to complete whatever work needs to be done before we would be in a position to adjourn for the day, so we could perhaps make a motion to recess to a time certain, that would be helpful.
I think we could almost just be at ease, Senator, and we're very close to getting the paperwork exchanged.
Okay, I think that would be suitable, that the Senate just be at ease.
All right, we'll do so. Thank you. I can announce that if the maintenance folks have asked us to take the flowers from desks, or they'll be discarded when you're gone. So if you want your flowers at home, please take them.